Welcome to Fearless Dentistry, the podcast where we dive deep into the world of dentistry with your fearless host, Dr. John Gordon. Dr. Gordon will fearlessly guide you through the evolving landscape of dentistry. Get ready to embrace the fearless mindset and revolutionize your dentistry practice. This is Fearless Dentistry with Dr. John Gordon.
Welcome to this episode of the Fearless Dentistry Podcast, and I'm your host, Dr. John Gordon. And I'm very excited for our guest today, Dr. Angela Maroney. And a couple things intrigued me. I found Angela. May I call you Angela, or do I need to call you Dr. Angela?
No, please call me Angela.
Okay. I ran across Angela on LinkedIn. LinkedIn has kind of become my community in expanding my friendship base, Angela. And after our onboarding conversation a couple of weeks ago, I feel like I've got a good new friend here with you. I loved our conversation, and I love the way that we visited with each other and shared honestly and openly. But there were a number of things that caught my eye on your LinkedIn profile before I made connection with you. And one was doctor. I was curious about what the doctor was. The thing that caught my eye and said, I have to make a connection with you, Angela, was Unleashing Influence, Inc. As I mentioned with you in our conversation, I go outside the dental box, the day in and day out nitty gritty dental box, to bring in and study information, study people, study concepts and principles of what I consider great business, and looking at that information and how it can help me inside my box of dentistry. And so I did that a lot with books and visiting with people. And again, that's what caught me with you, is I got to visit with you and find out about influence and how you look at it and the value that you see that it brings to people in their personal businesses. Your doctor part is that you're a dentist, not an active practicing one, and I'll let you tell that story. I think that's a great story. You're a professional dancer, and I'll let you tell that story. I thought that was awesome. Obviously, you are a influencer, and you use your theme, influence, to become an influencer in your community and in your realm of what you're trying to accomplish with your personal business. I think you're a very creative entrepreneur also. In listening to our conversation, listening to you speak last time, you had multiple things that something happened and you had to move on. Something happened again. You had to move on. Now you're down in Nicaragua. And so I'm thinking, this is just an interesting life's journey, but you're continually courageous and you have drive and you have moxie. And I thought, this is just awesome. And then the other thing is, I see on there, you're an arsonist. And so I'm going to let you share your steps along the way that brought you to where you are today. And again, Angela, I really appreciate you being on with me today. So I'm going to pass the wand to you, and then I may interrupt periodically with a question that comes up as you're speaking. Is that okay?
That sounds perfect. Thanks for having me on, John.
Take it away.
So it's interesting that, as you said, like, I've had things happen and had to like pivot and rebuild and keep going. And I didn't really realize that theme in my life until I had a boyfriend that asked me a question that changed my life. And so we're laying in bed on a Saturday morning, and it's been a long entrepreneurial week. I'm in the middle of building my third company while owning still the two other ones and still growing them. And he rolls over and asks me, what does your dream life look like? And honestly, I felt pretty judged about this question, because I'm like, I know he's asking because he thinks that I'm burning myself out and that I'm pushing too hard and it's going to affect our relationship and it's going to affect him. And so I'm kind of pissed that he asked me this question, but then I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to play along. And so I lay back and I say to him, well, you know, my dream life looks like waking up in a tropical country, feeling the humidity on my skin, smelling fragrant flowers in the air, and seeing palm trees outside my window. my dream life looks like, you know, getting on a motorcycle in the morning and riding to the beach to go surfing at sunset.
That sounds really good so far.
It's awesome. And then coming home and having a beautiful breakfast across from a beautiful man. Then when I go to work, I want to work 3 hours a day. I want to make $1 million per year. And I want to work with people who are trying to change the world with what they know. Then when I'm done my 3 hours of work, I want to enjoy the tropics with my friends. I want to, at sunset, have dinner with beautiful people. And then when I finally get to go to bed, I want to know that I'm exactly where I'm meant to be, doing exactly what I'm meant to do. And as I'm telling this, I'm kind of laughing to myself because I'm like, I don't even know where that came from. And it's so disparate from the life that I'm living. Because at that point, I'm working 100 hours a week. I'm building company number three. All my companies are taking off. And I am addicted to entrepreneurship. And I'm running scared. I'm running scared because I've lost my ability to practice dentistry. I have no idea really what I'm supposed to be doing with my life. So I've decided to start building companies around each of my skills outside of practicing dentistry. And that question that he asked me just haunted me. It haunted me. He came and went. But that question, I would wake up in the middle of the night scratching my dry, wintry skin. And I was living in Calgary, which is winter, like 9 months of the year, going like, why am I doing this? Why am I pushing so hard? Why do I always have to like be a badass and, you know, be a martyr for my work? Why can't I have that life that I described to him? And I started to realize I could. How I had ended up becoming addicted to entrepreneurship, how I had come to living in Calgary, being in an area that helped push me to be addicted to entrepreneurship, was my choice. It was 100% my choice. And so if I wanted to live that dream life I had described to him, I just had to make different choices. They might be uncomfortable choices, but they would just require different choices. So I started to observe what was going on. I was like, okay, if I admire this thing about someone, why is it that I admire that about the life that they're living or the business that they have? And it wasn't really about like coveting my neighbor's goods, coveting my neighbor's life. It was about realizing how I wanted to redesign my life. So if I was going to burn things down and start again, what did I actually want? What are those pieces from other people's lives that I hadn't tasted before? I hadn't chosen to experience before that would get me to that dream life that I had described. And that's how I ended up selling one of my companies, selling everything that I owned, including my house, and buying a one-way ticket to Nicaragua, waking up the next morning, laying in bed, feeling the humidity on my skin, smelling the fragrant flowers in the air, and seeing palm trees outside my window.
That's awesome. That is just remarkable, Angela. The way that you described your dream life was so clear, and for it to come across so clear in a moment of spontaneity, that's remarkable. Had you given that question much thought before that? Wow.
No one had asked me that before. And so as I was describing it to him, I was like, where did that even come from? Because I thought I was living my dream life, right? I thought building these companies, kicking ass and taking numbers in my life was what I wanted. And then when I sat back and played the game of answering that question, even though I was annoyed, it was shocking what came out of my mouth. And then I realized, okay, I'm not as happy as I think I am. And I'm not living into my potential the way that I think I am.
You know, you described a significant purpose with your life at that point. And that purpose, as I'm understanding it, is transformational in the fact that you're putting yourself out there, not only wanting to transform yourself, but transform the people that you interact with through your purpose. Man, for that to just roll off, that's amazing. I think a lot of people would have to sit down for a full day to maybe a week to come up with that message like that. And it just rolled out of there. I was sitting here in awe as you were describing that, just thinking, this is unbelievable. We don't need to say anymore, Angela. The message is clear. Describe your dream life and then ask yourself, why not? And start making the choices.
Yeah. And what happens is when people actually start trying to make those choices, the shoulds start coming in. And sometimes they're coming from within, sometimes they're coming external, because especially for professionals, we've built this life and we've been told, you know, if you follow the straight and narrow path, everything will come to you. And in dentistry, especially, it's like you take care of the patients, the business will take care of itself, which is not really true anymore, right? You need more than just taking good care of the patients. But we get stuck and we get programmed in school that here's the path and there's a ceiling of where you're going to cap off when you hit that, because this path only gets you to this kind of income. It only gets you to this kind of lifestyle. It only gets you to this kind of balance. And a lot of the people that I work with, they have been subscribed to that, and trying to break them from that. And, you know, a lot of them do want to work 3 hours a day, make $1 million per year, create massive impact in the world. And so they have to let go of a lot of that programming and let go of those shoulds, because those shoulds come in and say, well, I should be happy. I should feel grateful that I am talented and that I can push that hard. I should feel happy that I live in this safe city and I can walk alone at night and not feel like I'm going to get mugged, right? I should feel grateful for everything that I've got. But then they dig into their dream life and they're going, but there's this thing that I describe over here that is so disparate from what I have over here. And it's not that I'm not grateful for what I have, but I've had this awakening that I want to do something differently. And a lot of times they get really scared because they are afraid that making a different choice is going to hurt other people. But the truth is, when you actually like live into your potential, you live into what makes you happy, what you're passionate about, people are more forgiving that you create massive change than you think they're going to be. And people really, truly want their friends to be happy. Your family wants to be happy. So if you change paths and move away from your professional training into something else, they may be questioning your sanity at first. Like, honestly, people have questioned my sanity over and over again, even including moving to Nicaragua, because they're like, it's so different. It's so outside the box of what we expected from you, because I had been living that serial entrepreneur lifestyle for so long. And so I just told them, well, I'm consciously doing this. Like, I'm very intentional about this. I've planned the bonfire of what I'm going to burn down and what I'm not going to burn down and how I'm going to assemble my life in a new direction. Yeah. And sometimes it takes conversations and also just being like, it's my life. I want to do what I want with it. And most people are not living a life that they're truly happy with.
Yeah. You know, I think, Angela, and I'm sure this is the way that you went about it, is that in making your choice and then following those choices and going in the direction you did, you didn't necessarily leave people behind with the intention of hurting or harming them, disowning them, disliking them, whatever. You really didn't leave them behind. You do it in a way that is so polite and caring that the door is still open all the time, and they have the opportunity to join you if they wish in their own way that they can. And by seeing you do this, you become an influential individual that shows them the path and that it can be done, and the value and the benefits afterwards.
Yes.
Yeah. Remarkable. A little bit about your dental background, Fearless Dentistry. I truly believe that you have been fearless in going from where you were to where you are. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure that you're going to be fearless going from where you are right now to your mind, I'm sure, is not stopped. It's not done. You're constantly heading up, aren't you? Looking at the next thing.
Actually, I have made a deal with myself that I am not allowed to start another company or a brand for the next 2 years. So Unleashing Influence, I've actually sold off Unleashing Dentistry's Potential. I sold off the agency part of Unleashing Influence, because after I moved to Nicaragua, I had sold the dance company. And so I was just down to two companies. And within 3 months, I was back to working 100 hours a week. And I realized, like, wherever you go, there you are. And here came Addicted to Entrepreneurship Angela. And so I decided to sell off those companies, sell off the agency part, because I was managing 14 full-time people. And that is not my forte. So I did another burn after I got to Nicaragua to get narrowed down to just Unleashing Influence and just what I do in it. So I have made this deal with myself. Like, I feel like I have found my purpose since dentistry, and this is all I'm focusing on for the next 2 years. There's absolutely no new company starting. There's no new like branches to it. It's just deep diving into helping people to pivot, helping to build their personal brands, and helping them with LinkedIn. And honestly, since leaving dentistry, and I'll tell the story of how that all happened, I've been running scared, trying to figure out who I'm supposed to be without a drill in my hand. And it wasn't until I had that revelation 3 months into being here that, you know, all I'm doing is running scared and building things to make myself feel better because I'm like, well, if I have things to do, everything's going to be okay. Then I wasn't actually focused. I wasn't niching into my mastery, which is now what I am doing. And it has made a difference to my income. It's made a difference to realizing all my dreams. And that's what I really help people to do. So as far as my dental background goes, I was really good clinically. I had really good hands. I was always top three, first, second, or third on clinical exams. And so I love dentistry. I wanted to be a dentist since I was two. When I got to become a dentist, when I got accepted to dental school, I'm like, oh my gosh, I get to play dentist all the time now. I was so excited about it. And the only problem was I was ridiculously shy. I was super introverted. Like if I had to walk into the classroom at school, I would always try to be there first so I didn't have to walk in front of a bunch of people because it just made me want to puke. So I decided to focus on kids because kids, I could just tell them stories. They weren't judging me. Yeah. Parents, I just have to tell them, you know, what happened. And then I could be like, huh, okay, got to go to my next patient. So it's really easy for me to operate that way.
Yeah.
Then about 4.5 years into doing primarily pediatrics, I realized, you know, I've got this kind of mastered. If I'm going to keep challenging myself, I either need to specialize and go to pediatric dental school, or I need something else has to change. And, you know, when you make a decision like that, sometimes the universe is just like, oh, here's an opportunity. Right. And so I ran into one of my old bosses who I had worked for doing primarily pediatrics. And he's like, I'm working at this practice for a 78-year-old dentist, and he's in the hospital. He's dying of cancer. I'm doing it as a favor. Would you like to take a couple of days off my hands? And I just finished a locum. So I was like, sure, that works. 2 days later, he calls me. He's like, and you know, I don't like doing dentistry. Why don't you just take the whole thing off my hands? So I agreed to working 5 days a week at this clinic that I know nothing about. It's in an area of town that I've never been to because it's the most dangerous part of Calgary. And I drive up Monday morning and there had been an ice storm. So I like slid down a hill getting there and I'm sitting in the parking lot and I'm like, if I die, no one's even going to know where to even start finding my body. So I was really relieved when he drove up beside me and we went upstairs. And when he opened the door to the practice, it was unlike anything I'd ever seen before. It was the most broken down, worn down practice I had ever seen. Like the carpet was black because it hadn't been cleaned in years. So I walk in there and I'm like, oh dear, what have I got myself into? And I'm 28 at this time. So there's a 5-decade difference between our training and our life experience. But I walked into the operatory and the view was amazing. It was the most beautiful view in Calgary. It had river valley. It was sky. It was just beautiful. And every day that I went in there, I was like, I see potential in this. I see potential to help these patients because they were all terrified of the dentist. The old dentist who had big sausage fingers. He was a giant man. He was boisterous. He would grab them and just like yank them. He didn't wear gloves till about the last 2 years of his career. So things were really old school and very in contrast to me. Like they called me the dental elf because I was so little and they're like, you just like dance around my face and you're so gentle. And the potential there, I was like, you know what? I can make a difference to these patients. I can actually level myself up because I'm used to dealing with kids. And these are scared adults who have massively broken down mouths because the old dentist couldn't see very well the last few years of his career. And so I was like, well, I'm going to have to up my skill set. I'm going to have to learn how to run a business. I'm going to have to learn to manage team members who have been practicing like it's 1960 and mentor them to come up to where current status is. And so I decided to go to the hospital and visit the dentist and said, you know, I've heard that you would never sell your practice to a woman, but I'm a woman. And I am really interested to buy your practice. And he said, well, I actually did say that. And, you know, I've heard like my patients have come and visited me. The team has come and visited me and they said, you're amazing. So I would actually happily sell you the practice. So I bought the practice. He ended up dying halfway through the deal, unfortunately. And then there was some weird stuff that happened. Like his son tried to sell the practice out from underneath me before I actually acquired it. So it was an interesting experience. But once I bought it, I fell in love with the idea of being an entrepreneur. And I had before that never wanted to be an entrepreneur. I was like, I want to dance professionally. I want to be a dentist. And, you know, I can't own a practice and be a professional dancer. So I was always just like, I'll be an associate. But this practice changed my life. I renovated the whole practice. I turned it from, like, patients had 10-year payment plans and everything was insurance-based. And I changed 6 months in into you had to pay up front and then the insurance would reimburse you. So I changed the culture of the practice, turned it into a high-end, high-tech practice went and studied COIS. I finished the program in 13 months, and then I did my implants, I did my IV sedation, I did my sleep apnea as well, so that I had the skill set to actually serve these patients at the level that they needed to actually get back to health. And then once I had that skill set, I started sending out referral pads to dentists in the city saying, if you have phobic patients that you don't want to deal with, I will happily treat them, because I scared little kids and scared little adults are the same thing, except scared adults say way meaner things. They really do have bigger words to use for you. So it was just a skill that I was very talented at, and I loved working with scared people.
Yeah. Scared adults are just scared little kids with gray hair.
Yeah.
Okay. That's quite a revelation that you did with that practice in a very short time frame. Kudos.
Yes. Kudos. And everyone told me I was insane. Like, everyone was like, you're going to sink the practice. You can't make that big of a change in that short of a time. And I was like, well, my gut says I can. So I'm going to trust that. And I was right.
You know, you sound a lot like me, Angela, in that respect, because I always look at things and say, okay, when was yesterday a good time to get this done? You know, instead of saying, oh, I'm going to give myself 2 years to transition this practice. No, no. Get out there and get it done and start living the dream.
Yeah.
Obviously, you probably lost some patients from the practice, but you gained more of the type of the individual that you wanted to treat.
Yes. Well, and it was funny because a lot of the patients, like I got scolded by some of the patients too, because I also increased my prices to 10% above the fee guide, because I was going and taking all this training and knew I could serve them at a higher level, and I was using better materials than he had been using. And I'm like, yeah, this is how I actually need to justify this. And some patients scolded me and were like, I'm never coming back. And I said, you know what? I'm leaving the door open. If you change your mind, you're so welcome to come back.
Yeah.
And they had experienced, you know, the level of care that I was providing. They knew that, you know, I like teeth more than anyone they had ever met before in their life. And so a lot of them actually came back like 6 months later, a year later, and they're like, so I went and tried some other dentists and no one cared as much as you did. So, can I come back? And it was really quite funny because, you know, and I was telling them things that they hadn't heard before because everything was being watched or it wasn't being seen. So, you know, I was telling them, you've got like $30,000 worth of work that you need to get done here to get back to health, to be able to maintain your health. We can't just like drill and fill here because you've broken this tooth every 6 months. Like, you can keep doing this, but it's insane. If you don't want to lose this tooth, we actually need to do something proper about it. So they went from having very patchwork dentistry to actually comprehensive care. And I would always tell them, like, we can eat the elephant a piece at a time. We can go as slow as we need, but this is what you need to actually get to the health that you say that you want to get to. Our practices were night and day. And to get people on board, again, everyone thought I was going to sink the practice by changing it, but I wanted a practice that I was proud of. I wanted a practice that I could invite my friends to come to where the carpet wasn't black because it hadn't been cleaned in a decade. And I wanted it to be beautiful. And I wanted to walk in there every day.
Yeah. And that's the key is if you're going to love something, you have to set it up to where you love it. And that's framing the practice physically. It's framing it with a different philosophy. It's framing it with a different culture. And patient, emotional, taking care of them and serving them. You're not saying anything bad about the prior doctor, but you came in with fresh energy and a freshness about you that I'm sure was very engaging. And you did get some people to come back, I'm sure. Yeah, good for you. Love it. A lot of courage to do that. And see, that's the thing that I picked up, Angela, in the first conversation a couple of weeks ago. And that's one of the first things I wrote down in my little notes here, courage. And you just continually display that. And to be an entrepreneur, you have to be courageous. You know, taking that next step where, you know, it's kind of like the Indiana Jones with the Holy Grail when it comes to the abyss. And on the other side is the Holy Grail and his father that's dying. He has to take that first step of leap of faith into the abyss or the hidden trail across the abyss. Taking that first step, the leap of faith, is that going to be there? And that's the way it is when you stretch out is where I'm going, is it really where I need to be going? But you don't ever know until you take that first step.
Mm-hmm. But I think our intuition tells us a lot as well. And you know, that's what a lot of people don't trust, especially when they have outside advisors coming at them saying, you should be doing this, you should be doing that. And so they're like, well, maybe I'm wrong. eventually, if they try those things that someone else says, and then they actually follow what their gut said, usually their gut is right. But yeah. You have to be fearless to push away what everyone else is saying and say, no, I trust myself. I'm going to do this. And, you know, if it doesn't work out, then it's all on me. And yeah. I can always make another choice after to fix it. But it is hard for people to do that, especially if they have advisors around or family around that's very opinionated, who are trying their best to guide them and with good intention.
You know, the thing that I've learned, Angela, and I know that you have too, without question, is that people that are truly entrepreneurial and very courageous about it, and people who are willing to dream, have a different fabric up here. Again, that's not saying good or bad. That's just the way it is. When I went to dental continuing education classes, and you listen to instructors and go, woof, okay, this guy isn't hitting the tone. And so you walk next door to another class that's being presented, and you sit there and listen. And it doesn't take you long to know that this guy's got it. And so you just recognize and understand, and you surround yourself with the people that really understand and appreciate what you're doing. And you look at those people for advice, or you look at those people to honestly share and relax and be with. And it's not that our family members, you know, I have family members that have no idea exactly what I'm doing, and that's okay. They have their lives and I have mine. But again, it's going back to, you know, if you listen to too many outside influence, it's going to break down and try to chisel away at your dream. Mm-hmm. Unpackage your Unleashing the Influence Inc. for me and for the audience.
So what we do in the company?
Yes.
So with Unleashing Influence, what I do is help take people through a 90-day pivot. And so a lot of my clients are coming from high-level corporate positions. One of my clients is former CIO of NASA, 40 years in the tech industry, who came to me and she had tried to be an entrepreneur for 6 months and she didn't make any money. So she came to me and she's like, I need help. I need to learn how to be an entrepreneur. I need to learn how to actually make money. Otherwise, I need to go back and get a job. So they come into the program and we do what is called a Crack You Open session. And what it is really I take a look at their soul. I take a look at their experience, their passion, how they interpret the world, and figure out how we can use those strengths and help them to step into who they truly are. Because when you tell someone to be who they are, that is a big ask. And most people never really step into who they are. And so when we do brand archetyping, which actually really helps them to see that they're not a freak in this world, who they are and the dimensions of them are normal. They're just different than other people, but we can leverage that as a strength to make them unique in the marketplace. Then we look at, you know, building out what their superpowers are, what their tone of voice is, and we build their whole personal brand and we launch it. So we get on LinkedIn, we start hunting. So we know who the ideal avatar is. So we're very specific about who we're hunting and using our 400 connection requests per month on, and getting specific with that, having the right kind of conversations, driving them down the funnel to actually getting the ideal person on a phone call so that they can close big offers. And we build out their whole offer, their standard operating procedures in their business, their whole platform to manage things, as much automation as we possibly can, so that they are just off and running. So by the time they get spit out at the end of the 90 days, they are launched. They have a business, they have an offer, they have a hunting system, they know how to close sales calls, and they're making money. So my clients, I guarantee by the end of their 90-day program, they'll come out making five times the return on what they originally invested. And I will work with them until they get there. Most of my clients aren't aiming for that $125,000 ROI. What they're aiming for is usually the $1 million or $2 million mark in their first year out. So we're not building entrepreneurs that are going to be like, oh, well, I hope I make a profit in 5 years. We're getting you profitable right out of the gate.
Part of my curiosity, Angela, is you have this great program here. How did you formulate it? And how long did it take you to put that together yourself? Because this is deep. It's extremely intentional. And it has a definite format and progression to it. That must take a lot of time to sit back and put it together.
Yeah. And it was interesting because when I realized, you know, that I hate managing 14 team members, I hate having multiple companies, I'm getting pulled in so many different directions. What I did was I sat down and I had these sticky notes. I actually have some of them here. So I had these yellow ones and pink ones. And I was like, okay, I'm just going to write out every skill that I know people would be willing to pay me for. And so I put a skill on each note and stuck it on this 2x3 whiteboard. And after I'm done, I've got a lot of skills because I have a professional dance background. I have a dentistry background. I have a business coaching. I have social media. So I sit back and I'm like, well, that's not helpful. And so I decide to go for a run, go to bed that night. And my whiteboard is in my bedroom. So when I wake up the next morning, there's all these bright sticky notes staring me down. And I'm like, okay, I got to get this organized. So I decided to start moving them around and they still were quite sticky. So I put the things that I love in one corner, the things that I hate in the other corner. And then I took the things that I loved and started ordering them from most loved to most hated. And the top three things that came out in the wash were that I love and I'm unfairly gifted at cracking people open and helping them to package what they've got so they don't have to reinvent the wheel. The second thing I'm unfairly talented at is helping people to commit arson. So start burning away the things that are not in their niche of mastery. Yeah. And then the third thing is helping them to fully own their niche of mastery, fully step into their potential, fully own who they are so that they can only live in that niche of mastery and start creating massive impact because of it. So when I look at those three things, I'm like, well, I have no business owning Unleashing Dentistry's potential, no business owning a dental coaching company, because honestly, coaching dentists was like ripping a scab off my heart because I couldn't practice dentistry anymore. My hand doesn't work properly. And then I looked at the Unleashing Influence Agency and I'm like, well, I hate managing people. And these three things have nothing to do with managing people. So I talked to one of my team members and I said, do you want to buy the agency part of it off me? I'm going to keep the brand because the brand is all me, but I don't want to, like, you can take the clients and you can take the team. So I sold both of those companies off and kept Unleashing Influence as a brand and just started to niche into those three things. So if anyone asked me to do anything outside of those three skills, it was a no, but I can refer you to someone who can help you with that. And it was scary to do that because I started doing that end of September. And so for 3 months, I'm like, okay, am I going to make money doing this or am I not? And by the 3 month mark, what happened was there was a day I opened up my bank account and I looked at it and I had just got a deposit from a client who I hadn't started working with who paid me up front. And the amount she had paid me was more than I would have made working full-time as a dentist. And I was like, okay, I've made it. And then what happened was I started getting messages on LinkedIn from those high-level people that I really had wanted to work with, those executives, like former CIOs of NASA and that kind of thing, saying, I've heard what you do. When can we get started? And so suddenly it was ramping up and I'm going, okay, old Angela is going to come back because it's going to be really easy to get addicted to doing this and working 100 hours a week. But I moved to Nicaragua to change my life. I moved to Nicaragua to get down to 3 hours a week and make what I wanted in one company. And so I sat back and went, okay, there's common denominators between what I'm talking to each of these people about. One of them was, you know, I'm saying the same thing to more than one person in a week. So they can be learning that together. And then what I was seeing was also these people had no community, right? They're pivoting from these high power positions where they were making guaranteed money to becoming entrepreneurs and their family didn't understand. Their colleagues were like, you're insane. Why would you leave? Why would you not take another C-suite position? And their friends don't get it either because they weren't entrepreneurs. So they needed community. So I'm like, okay, if I bring them together, they get that too. And then most of them have 20 plus years of experience in their industry. So they are experienced. They have a lot of knowledge. They have a lot of insight into life and professionalism. So I was like, well, they can start sharing this information together. So I launched my first 90-day program, which is now called the 90-Day Pivot Accelerator, and brought these high-powered people together and take them through their 90-day pivot together. So they're not alone. They're sharing insight. They start coaching each other. And they're also getting the information at the same time, which is nice because then we have a curriculum that we follow. And what I noticed when, like, I've been coaching for a long time, not just since I sold the companies. And what I noticed is by having them in a group, we got so much more done than I had ever accomplished with any one-on-one clients because they weren't pulling me off into their personal problems. They weren't trying to bring me into their agenda. They were subscribed to my agenda. They had joined the program for my agenda and what they could learn from me. And so honestly, we got about 2 years worth of work done in those 90 days. And the clients would say the same thing, like, I can't believe how much we got done.
That's amazing.
And it was really cool because what also happened was I was able to, in my first 90-day group, I 6x my hourly income compared to when I was working one-on-one. And now with the cohorts that I'm running, I'm at 17 times what I was originally making per hour. So I was able to scale not only my income, I was able to scale my results with the clients and get them way farther ahead. And then once they're done the 90-day program, they have the option to join the Badass Entrepreneurs Club, which is a continuous education every week to keep helping them to level up to get to multiple millions that way.
Yay, Angela. You rock. That is a great story. I love that. You know, you have so many things that you shared in that. Once I'm finished with this, I'm going to re-listen to this whole thing and I'm going to take notes myself because you said so many great things from start to finish here today. I almost hate to end it with you. I'm going to bring you back again at some point in time. We'll give a couple of months here for people to listen to this. And we're going to come back and unpackage and spend some more time on some of these topics because I just, you've got a great thing going and I love it. A couple of questions came up for me. And this is an example for entrepreneurs that are, you know, thinking, gosh, can I do this? Should I do this? Obviously, what I'm hearing with you, I've not gone through the 90-day program, but from what I'm hearing from you, and based upon the character and the type of individual that I've learned who you are, there's no doubt in my mind that people are going to come away with far more than what they anticipate in going through your program. But it's a great example also. You shared that, you know, that you 3x'd your income and then you 7x'd it and then 17x'd it and whatever, without sharing numbers and whatever. Those are the types of things that I want entrepreneurs to hear. That if it's a very purpose, transformational, and it's for the benefit of the people that you're serving, and that's where your focus is, you get rewarded to the extent with which you give. And I think that's a testament to you that, you know, you are just giving and giving. And so you are being rewarded because what you're giving is so successful and it has such meaning, benefit, and impact to the people that are receiving it. I'm curious. Again, I wanted them to hear that because there is something worth, not just the financial, but it is an emotional and spiritual gain that you get, not only your recipients, but also that you get internally as the giver. That keeps driving your train. It's like putting the coal in the steam engine. It just keeps you moving forward. Without sharing numbers, from the day you started this unleashing, how long ago would that have been?
So Unleashing Influence, I was starting to build the concept, I think it was like May 2019. And then it officially became a company with 2.5 full-time team members in January 17th, 2020. And then 2 months into that, obviously, exactly to the day, the world shut down. And my team came to me and they're like, you know what? Everyone else is getting laid off. Like, if you have to lay us off, we get it. And yeah. I told them, buckle in, make sure you're getting lots of sleep. Do not get COVID. We're going to take this thing to the moon. So by 10 months in, we had grown from 2.5 to 14 full-time team members because what we had to offer was something that people needed. I had 30-year speakers coming to me saying, I don't know how to speak on camera. Like, I'm the worst because I'm used to having 1,000 people responding to me and giving me energy. And when I record this, I'm getting bad reviews because people think I suck now because I don't know how to actually engage with them through the camera. So it was really interesting during that time to see the growth. And then I moved to Nicaragua and realized, like, I don't want to manage people. This sucks. I was waking up in the middle of the night with panic, going like, oh my God, did I forget something? Did they forget something? And so I sold the agency part, I think it was like end of May of 2022.
Okay. So you're going independent into this unleashing the influence is still a problem, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, no, that was May 2021.
Okay.
Was when I got rid of it. So I built the company and offloaded it in a very short amount of time.
Yeah. So you're 2 years into it. Is that correct?
Yeah. So May 2019 to May. Yeah. Yeah. I hadn't even realized that.
Okay. Right. So we're going to dangle a carrot in front of the horse. Okay. Is your income into the company at this point a multiple six figure, or is it in the seven figure? Just dangle a carrot with them, Angela, and do it. Be proud. It isn't boastful. What you're doing is you're just sharing an example of the financial benefit of staying committed to a purpose-driven passion.
Yeah. This year is a seven-figure year.
Perfect.
And great. Next year, the plan is multiple seven figures.
So. Yeah. Now, how many people are working with you now?
So I have about a half-time virtual assistant. I have a business partner where we built a platform that supports our clients and it supports my company. So he runs the automations and I have a virtual assistant through them as well, who is probably quarter time. So really very few people on my team. And this is what I teach people is like, as we're building these companies, you should be able to run it with a half-time virtual assistant, leverage the platform. So you've got everything in one place and the business is systemized, it's programmed, everything is as automated as possible so that you aren't running an overhead. Because when we come from dentistry, overhead is it's kind of insane because you need team members, you need to have a facility. And I decided when I wanted to do this and build a digital nomad type company, I wanted to not be reliant on a big team and not worrying about those moving pieces. I wanted it to be me with a little bit of support on the things that I should not be doing that are not in my niche of mastery, but I didn't want to have a massive overhead that came with it.
Yep. Perfect. And that's the ideal thing is when you're stepping into something like this is keep your overhead minimal, keep your management energy minimal. That's great. So everything is minimal for you. And that's just a great model. Yay. I love it, Angela.
Yeah. Simple, effective, and influential is what I have. Teach them to do.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. That was a great way to end it. Those two comments right there at the end. Angela, it has been phenomenal to visit with you today. I love your energy. I love your drive. And again, you know, I talked early on about your courage and your drive and it's paying off. And I'm so happy for you. I'm excited for you. You're down there living where you want to live your dream life. You've got it going for you. I know you're going to stick with it. You're not going to let people pull you away from your passion and your dream. Great for you. Share with our audience and listeners in our community how they can get a hold of you, but we'll also have it in written form in the podcast notes. But share with them how they can. What's the best way for them to hook up with you?
LinkedIn is probably the best way. If you look up Dr. Ansel Mulroney, you'll find me. And then if you want to interact with the information, I run $97 challenges every month, which will give you the foundation to thinking about what your dream life is, how you're going to architect your life to support it through your personal brand, through building your business. And the 5 days will open your mind to what's possible for you. It'll open your mind to what personal branding can do for you. It'll open your mind to what you can do on LinkedIn. And it's all executable information. So you're going to walk away with a plan to help yourself if you want to try to do it yourself. Or we can always have a chat about working together as well.
So you give them an opportunity to peek behind the curtains.
Yeah,
that's great. But you said something there, work by himself. And you know what I'm finding is, Angela, when you're venturing out in an entrepreneurial way, it's very, very difficult to do it by yourself. Very few people, I think, can pull it off as well as you have by themselves. And so good for you. I'm going to encourage people to do that monthly challenge with you and then really seriously look at that 90-day. I can see big things, people, with that. So great for you, Angela. I love it today. We're going to get back, as I mentioned, and this has been a great podcast. Thank you, Angela.
Thanks for having me, John. I appreciate it.
You bet. This is Dr. John. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you for joining us on Fearless Dentistry with Dr. John Gordon. Stay fearless, keep pushing boundaries, and continue making a lasting impact in dentistry. Subscribe for more fearless conversations. Until next time, keep spreading smiles.